Robin Washit.
Blissful ignorance, I think it could be an advantage here.
Robin Washit.
Yeah, I'm a ball guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely huge.
The hot cake.
Wash it. Wash it's good. Wash it. Yeah, wash it's real good. Wash it. Wash it's good. Wash it. Yeah, wash it's real good.
Normally the function of our interviews is we ask the questions and our fine guests, our friends of the program, give us answers. But today I'm going to give Mr. Washit, we're going to play a new fun game. It's called
This sounds horrible.
Pick your own topic.
Oh,
Robin, would you like what's behind door number 1 last night's Nebraska Northwestern basketball game, or what's behind door number 2? Describing in one word the level of the job Matt Rhule has coming up for him in year one. Which led to a great fun and frivolity on yesterday's program.
I'll be honest, Robin. I thought that it was going to be describe in one word your reaction to the Dallas Cowboys' last play of their season. I could not believe that John didn't bring that up. So, what a guy. What a friend.
No, I mean, it was there, set up for him to really put us both on the spot there. And I'm glad he resisted the temptation to do that, and I'll go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off. We can talk about it last night.
Just get out of the way.
All that entailed. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, where do you want to start, John?
Beyond the obvious, which is, and it can't be ignored, you're missing two starters, arguably your two best defensive on-ball players. Was there anything from last night that made you pause and think this is a bad sign for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the ripple effect of not having those two guys defensively and on the board was significant. Nebraska got dominated on the glass, gave up 16 second chance points, turned the ball over 17 times for 22 points off turnovers. And a lot of that is just because of how outmatched they were in the backcourt and on the perimeter, especially defensively. So, there's kind of the worst case scenario kind of played out in that regard of just how big of an impact that was going to have on Nebraska's ability to compete against the better teams in this conference. But the next layer to that was, you kind of saw what all this additional pressure on guys like Sam Griesel and Derek Walker had to where, they both had one of their worst individual nights of the season in the game where they had to carry the load. They shot the ball combined 11 times and they turned the ball over a combined 9 times. And for your two best players to have lines like that, that's going to be hard to overcome regardless of what Nebraska was already dealing with. So, there were some positive, flashes with Jamarcus Lawrence hitting 4 threes, Kase going off for 22, even Sam Hoiberg coming off the bench, being plus 11, his 17 minutes of his very first meaningful Big Ten minutes. But, the totality of what this season has been as far as the injuries and depletion of the roster was never more apparent than it was last night. And I know a lot of Nebraska fans left that game just wondering, how are they going to win another one? And this was a game at home where you got students back in town. You're only 2.5-point dogs against Northwestern team that had just played a hard-fought game like 48 hours earlier. The table won't be set as well maybe as it was last night very often the rest of the way. And Nebraska was hardly even competitive for most of that game. So, like I said, it's when the news happened of Juwan and then Emmanuel, you're like, oh, boy, how bad could this thing get? You kind of saw a flash of that, and it's going to be up to, one, Walker and Griesel playing significantly better and, carrying the bulk of the workload there, but two, getting more or consistent production from these young guys that, like I said, showed flashes, but they're going to have to do it night in, night out now. And are they going to be capable of taking on that type of responsibility? That we'll see, but It's no secret it was going to be a tall task, but I think Wednesday night was a pretty stark reminder of just how challenging this next month and a half is going to be for Nebraska.
Yeah, so Robin, that leads to the next question, and I think it's kind of the obvious one because a lot of people have been asking it this week. Like, what does this mean for Fred Hoiberg and getting another season? Because on one hand, as we've all talked about, they are a better team this year. They were playing in a different way. He did change up the style. They started out 6-3. They got a win over Creighton. They took Purdue to the wire. All of that said, I mean, there's a very realistic scenario, right, where they're 12-19, 11-20, 13-18 at the end of the regular season. Like, what does this mean? Like, what would that record mean, given the injury situation has kind of forced their hand in this regard, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, you can't discredit the injuries in this conversation. When Nebraska had its full complement, they were good. I mean, they went to Omaha and beat Creighton. They beat Iowa by 16. They should have beaten Purdue, which is the number one team in the country. And so, I mean, you saw multiple examples of just how improved they were. And, you know, when things were clicking and everybody was available, they had a chance to, you know, potentially push for a postseason berth. The problem was they were walking such a fine line that if anything disrupted that, it was going to be hard for them to recover. And you know, you saw that gradually as the year went on, just with the various guys in and out of the lineup. I think they started their sixth starting lineup already this season, just because of injuries and illnesses and whatnot. It's kind of one of the what if game. You know, and what if Nebraska was able to stay healthy? You guys were able to play a full season together. You know, what would this conversation be at this point of the year? But I think the answer to your question of what does it mean for Fred Hoiberg, I think the answer is going to be different with every person you ask. I think there's a portion of the fan base that has seen enough. You know, it's been 4 years now, and it is what looks like to be assured four straight seasons of sub-500 basketball where you're going into February and you're completely out of the running for not only the Big Ten, but even for a postseason berth. And now, they got to replace Vandermel, they got to replace Walker and Griesel, and, you know, what's this roster going to look like even next year? And is it worth letting this thing play out when you have 4 years of, examples of not much to show for the job Fred Hoiberg's done? The other is also part of the fan base that kind of takes into account more of what's happened since the end of last season to now and the improvements that have been made and the 180-degree shift of the way Fred has taken this program by restructuring his staff, recruiting a different type of player, playing a different style of basketball that is far more conducive to being competitive in the Big Ten. And, again, you've seen examples already of what this new look for the program could potentially be, when they have the right pieces available. So then some people might say, well, you know what, why not give this thing another year and let them continue to recruit towards this identity and let these coaches continue to groom some of these young players that are going to be playing extensive minutes down the stretch here and going to be really cutting their teeth against the Big Ten grind here that will prepare them for next year. So, I mean, you can talk yourself to both sides of it. I don't know if there's a right answer right now. And if the real issue is here is the only opinion that matters is Trev Alberts.
Yep.
And I have no idea what he's thinking. I have a hunch, and my assumption is that $11 million buyout is going to loom large in that discussion to where I think the last thing he wants to do is go through another coaching change and spend that kind of money for another guy not to coach at the University of Nebraska and then go through another coaching search and do all of that after everything that this athletic department went through with football. So I think, in my opinion, this is an incomplete discussion right now to where we'll know a lot more about kind of where this thing is trending in a month or so. And if this thing completely bottoms out, Nebraska's losing every game by 20-plus points, maybe there's a much different tone. But if they continue to fight and you see more flashes from young guys like Jamarcus Lawrence and Denham Dawson, You know, you kind of can maybe talk yourself into there being reason for optimism for next season with what they have coming back. You know, maybe that plus the money involved with this gives Fred another year. So my guess right now is that Fred's back. But again, a lot can change between now and the end of the season.
Probably a difficult question to respond to, Robin, but what is a reasonable goal given the manpower shortage, given the remaining schedule? What constitutes a reasonable goal? Does it have a number attached to it, or is it just how it plays out, how it looks?
Yeah, I mean, I think just given just the reality of the situation, if they can get 2 to 3 more wins, I would consider that a pretty good success. And you know, maybe if they can get one in Chicago at the Big Ten tournament, you know, then end the season on a relative high note, you know, I think that's an attainable goal. Because, I mean, they've got games where they at least on paper could have a chance. You got Minnesota at home. You got a struggling Wisconsin team, which right now, looking at KenPom, they're favored to win right now. You know, you got some coin flip games, Michigan State at home. You know, the back end of that schedule is still, again, this is all on paper, relatively favorable. So, I mean, like, there's going to be at least some semblance of opportunity to maybe get another win or two down the stretch. But for me, the bigger part of this conversation isn't necessarily, you know, a benchmark for wins and losses. It's what does a team look like? Did they quit? You know, did they let all of these obstacles and adversity get the best of them and they just check out? You know, if that happens, then, you know, again, I think it's the question is going to answer itself. But if you see consistent development of some of these younger core players that they're going to be relying upon next year, you know, they're still playing with that gritty effort, you know, regardless of the final score, if they're at least putting forth a product that fans can be proud of, I think that there's going to be part of that in the discussion as well. So I don't put a number attached to it with wins and losses. I think it's, you know, can you maintain a competitive team despite all of these issues and can get continued development from your younger core players and, you know, just give fans a reason to still pay attention as, you know, they continue this uphill battle down the stretch.
So, Robin, before I let you go, what have you made of the great rebuild, reset debate of the last week, starting from scratch? Everyone surrounding
remodel,
Husker football,
retread.
Everyone's mad. Everyone's so mad. I'm worried. It's only January still.
Well, I mean, when you bring in that many new players, it's hard to call it just a continuation of what they already had. I mean, there is a lot of new. So I think when people call it a rebuild, that's what they're talking about. I mean, they're shuffling things up, everything from the coaching staff to the starting lineup to the nutritionist to the athletic trainer. Like, I mean, Matt Rhule is putting his stamp on this program right out of the gate. So, you know, I don't think it's totally unfair to use those types of words, rebuild, all that sort of stuff. But I get what their, you know, maybe their point is that Nebraska, it's not like they're going to look at a 1-11 season right now. You're like, they think they're going to be more competitive than what you would typically associate with a quote unquote rebuild situation. So the job so far, I don't know how you can complain much about it if you're a Nebraska fan. Seems like Matt Rhule and his staff are doing everything right. They're doing everything from, you know, as far as the roster management to their PR, going around the state, seeing, like, essentially every small town in the state of Nebraska and meeting, you know, everybody, like, they're running for governor. It's been impressive and nothing short of that. Now the winter workouts are getting underway here. Now the football stuff starts to come into play. It's not just recruiting and going out there and kissing babies. The real work begins now, heading into winter conditioning and then spring practices. So, so far, it's been nothing but good. But again, there's a lot of work still to be done. But as far as where we are right now on January 26th, not much to complain about.
Robin, it's been a somber conversation. So let's end on a lighthearted note. Which song would be best used to play as a bed underneath the highlight of the Cowboys' last play on Sunday? Yakety Sacks or Pop Goes the Weasel?
Look, I'm going to completely stay away from this because
what a guy. That's a good friend.
They did nothing to warrant me delivering any sort of taunts or jabs. My plan was to put the kids to bed, and so like I wouldn't have to worry about them bugging me during the game. And so I had recorded it, and I came downstairs after bedtime, whatever. It was all, you know, dialed in, ready to go, nervous. I turned it on, and the stupid thing didn't record.
So I
turned it on, and it goes live, and it's like, oh, we're down 28-0 going into halftime. Well, you know, I need to see.
Yep.
So I've watched literally two plays of that game, which, looking back, was probably the best thing for my mental and physical health, that, you know, I was just able to get it over with, not think about it anymore. And I turned on some Chappelle Show and just sat there quietly in my dark basement to try to let this thing play out and process.
Okay, so you turn on Chappelle Show. The game is still going
I followed it on Twitter.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you maybe turned it. Okay, I'll check back in just to see if it gets any better. And it didn't even.
Yeah, and then I would see look, Daniel Jones got sacked again. Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, when they went for it on fourth down on their second drive, in the moment, I was like, wow, that's some weird aggression. But in hindsight, it's obvious that Daboll knew he couldn't stop the Eagles' offense. So he's like, we just got to score.
Why they didn't go for it later on when they punted, a very similar situation later in the game. It's like, you know, they just wanted to get out of there.
Yep.
Like, that's two times now they've played the friggin' Eagles and been totally outclassed. So, you know, it is what it is. Brian Daboll is still going to be the coach of the year. Things are headed in the right direction. Important offseason ahead, but you know what? I had more fun this NFL season than I've had in over a decade. Like, even way more than the 2016 year when they went to the playoffs. Like, this team was fun to watch.
Coach.
And I'm excited. I think they got actually competent leadership, and the Giants will no longer be the doormats of the NFC.
And most importantly, Robin, go Niners!
Absolutely. We are all San Francisco 49ers.
Yes. This is when it's the arm memes coming together. Rob and I are together now. Go 49ers.
I'm just screaming bang, bang, Niner gang at every person that I come up
with. I love Brock Purdy. I've never said a negative thing about him before. He's a great quarterback.
No, not at all. You didn't suggest at all.
I do love that defense, though, man. Fly around. Make some plays, 49ers. Come on.
This is the Josh hates quarterbacks bowl. Because you crapped on Hurts at the beginning of the year, and you've been crapping on Purdy. This is like,
I'm worried, Robin, that finally Purdy is going to play like a rookie, and it's going to be in the worst time for me in terms of fandom. Well, I guess I wish he would have done it last week.
If you combine our luck together, this is all setting up for just a dominant Eagles victory, and just have to sit there for 2 weeks hearing about how sweet the Eagles
they win
are.
It again.
I'm already throwing up in my mouth.
Dude, I'm going to be if they win again, I'm going to be so mad. They fired everybody and they started anew and now they're going to do it again? Infuriating. Gross.
It really is. I'm triggered right now.
Thank you, Robin.
I tried to end the interview on a positive note.
Let's get him off the air. I'm going to get madder.
This has been the worst radio spot I've done in a long time. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Appreciate it. It's our honor.
10 minutes on Nebraska basketball, now this.
All right, Robin. Absolutely. Enjoy the weekend.
Bye, Robin.
Robin Washington, HuskerOnline.com.
Here's what you do, real quick. Read Robin so then you don't have to watch the team the rest of the year. Boom. You can just read his gamer the next day. Perfect. Don't have to watch the stupid Nebraska basketball team.
We got Al Bell coming up next. What is behind all the line movement? Also, the Bengals have leaned into the bit.
Are they triggering people again?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
They are trying their best.
Oh, boy.
To be the Rowdy Roddy Piper of this matchup.
Mm.
The big mouth heel.
Hmm.
Next on 1620 The Zone.
Speaking of line movement, hey everyone, Josh and John here for the FanDuel Sports Book. You go on that website right now. You download the app. If you're a new customer, you put in our promo code 1620. Or if you already have an account, they are giving all customers a no-sweat same-game parlay this weekend for the conference championship games, which means free bets back if your conference championship same-game parlay does not hit. We were just talking about the NFC, so why not go to that NFC championship game? And as I look around at maybe some of the props that I like in this one, You know, you wonder about Brock Purdy. How many times will he throw it? The number is 31.5. If you like the 49ers, you'd probably go with the under there. But if you think the Eagles will have a fast start, you might have to go with the over as the 49ers try to catch up, Kittle to score, whatever it is. Maybe a Jalen Hurts anytime touchdown. John, again, whether you are new with the promo code 1620 or you're already there, you will get a no-sweat same-game parlay.
And I just set me up a same game parlay. The nice thing about FanDuel is you can buy or sell points. In other words, you can add to a team's favorite total or you can maybe subtract from it. So if you really like the Eagles this weekend, for example, and let's say you think the Eagles will win by at least a touchdown, 7 points or more, you can tease that spread out to 6.5. Plus, if you like A.J. Brown, who had a pretty light game last week, didn't have a lot of receiving yards, but if you like him to have a big bounce back game against Frisco on Sunday, take the over on his receiving yards, that same game parlay would pay plus 351. You can work with all different kinds of permutations, and it doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, because all customers get a no sweat same game parlay this weekend for betting the NFL Conference Championships. Just sign up, use our promo code 1620, and get yourself started with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Iowa, 3 plus legs minimum, $1 bet required. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-BETS-OFF.